Well, we're going to worship God with our giving today, and I want to use a scripture that I heard Erica Kirk share in her press conference this past week that meant a lot to them. And it's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Praise Jesus forevermore. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, GE Power Company. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. Somebody say a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. And I chose this image here. Hey, there they are. We're so looking. Again, thank you guys for being here. Amen. A glorious church. But she, you know, it's amazing when somebody's wife just goes on and 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 on about how great a man her husband was. That should move us all, especially the men. It should challenge us all to be better, to just be closer to God. Now, there's no perfect human being in the planet. We get that. But she said he would always ask her, what can I do to bless you? What can I do to be a better husband? Remarkable. He wasn't faking it, in other words, Charlie. Right? He was the real deal, the real McCoy. Maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't see her press conference, but she talked about that he literally gave his life for this country, for faith, for freedom, for the kids, you know, for family, right? And he's a modern-day martyr. She talked about him right now wearing the crown of a martyr in heaven. Amen? But the word gave means words like to deliver up one to custody, to be judged, condemned, punished, scourged, tormented, put to death. Of course, we think of Jesus, number one. But there's been many over the years that have paid the ultimate price of martyrdom, giving their life for somebody else, for the freedom of this nation, so that kids on college campuses can be taught, think for yourself. I love how Lance Wallnau talked about him. You should also, I can't encourage you enough to watch the broadcast Flashpoint on Victory Network. And the day that this all happened, they came on, and Lance Wallnau said he was like everybody's big brother. Okay, tell me why. Tell me why you're thinking that way, and then let's look at truth. Another minister called him America's youth pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. And he gave his life. He didn't want to pay that price, but when it happened, man, he was received into glory. And I love how Erica got up there and said, for those of you who think you're shutting us up, you have no idea what you have just done. His life was a seed that went into the ground, right? And in the same way, when we're giving our tithes and offerings, you're giving of your own life, you're giving of your own sacrificially, and you're sowing pieces of your own life to get the gospel preached, right? So we love partnering with people like the Mishlers, because they literally are taking it across the border to another nation where many of us won't go, right? But they go, right? So you take your seed and you sow it into the work of God. And watch God just do mighty, mighty, mighty awesome things. But Charlie today, we should remember him as a seed that went into the ground. And Lacey, would you come? I asked, Lacey is our is my personal social media expert. And I'm not on social media myself, but when we do have social media for our church, and when I tell her, Lacey, let's post this, or what's going on? And since let's show the video first that we're not showing anything from the day of the assassination. This is what Turning Point shared with everybody. It's just about a 2-minute video, and I just want to start with this.
We're active in about 15 campuses, and we're growing very, very quickly. And keep in mind, this is not just a flash in the pan movement. We're going to become an institution to give them the power and the confidence to stand up and let their voice be heard.
I started this organization when I was 18 years old. I decided not to go to college. I didn't get in my dream school, which was the United States Military Academy at West Point. I have this idea to galvanize and motivate the future youth of this country around a core set of ideas, not just political parties or politicians. And the ideas are really America's the greatest country in the history of the world. The Constitution is the greatest political document ever written. And free enterprise is the most assured way to lift people out of poverty and create prosperity for all. Those are the three big ideas. And I think that's something that can win. We as Christians are called to go into the public arena to correct error with truth. So I go to college campuses and there's a lot of error. We're all sinners. We all live in error. I'm far more interested in what God wants of me than what I want from God.
I have to say this without getting emotional, but I'm very proud of my husband. And I know many of you are too. You have worked so hard. And I know a lot of you have seen, obviously, his videos on TikTok and all the stuff he does on campus, but no one gets to see him from my angle except for myself and our children. And the sacrifices that he made this year, he's amazing. I'm very blessed.
And I would not have been able to do any of it without Erica. And that's the real truth. I'll tell you what. You are here as a grassroots response to the top-down revolution happening in this country. I want our Turning Point USA students to receive a round of applause. These are the freedom fighters of America.
And the media said that Turning Point could never run a ground game. They weren't experienced. They didn't know Charlie, right?
This is the greatest generational realignment since Woodstock. This generation is the most conservative generation that we have seen in well over 50 years, and the numbers show it. What young people especially are screaming at is they say, give me a structure that I can live my life by. And especially with young men, more challenging of them, more saying, you know what? Honestly, I'm not gonna talk down to you. Stop being a boy and become a man. You wanna learn what that means? Come to church and I'll tell you what it means to become a man. Because we have the greatest story ever told. What can I do to save the country? You answer that question every single day because you are doing the work to save this beautiful republic. You are doing something that is bigger than you.
If everything completely goes away, how do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. Most important thing is my faith in my life.
Hallelujah. Somebody say we're not backing down, devil, right? Now this past week. What is that, London? Can you go to the next one? Look at that. That's not AI, people. That's over 1 million people standing up to the craziness going on because of Charlie Kirk's sacrifice. Next. This is in Tualatin, just a couple days ago. All these people coming together to say, you know, to support Charlie and everything that he was about and say we're about that too. Amen. Next one. Ohio State University. We're getting our campuses back, man. Look at this. These kids saying enough is enough, right? TCU? GCU, what's that? Grand Canyon, okay, amen. So how many know even our Christian campuses need to wake up? Does anybody know any Christians I'm talking about, that said some dumb thing after this happened? I mean, like, where are you? Right, we got to pray for him, right? But this is amazing. Liberty, yep, Liberty University. Australia. Now, these are countries where they will lock you up if you don't shut up. But how many know the thing we should take away from this is we're not going to shut up. The devil tried to take out, you know, to take the right in the neck where we speak from. Right? It's so demonic what he tried to do, but look at what God is doing, right? And where's this? Okay, it's another university. So my. Look at this. Yep. And there was one that you showed me that's also from like Korea. And all these people are yelling, "I am Charlie Kirk. I am Charlie Kirk." It's like, wow. Glory to God. Glory to God. How many know Charlie's voice just got louder? There will never be another Charlie Kirk. Never. But the voice that he, his heart and his call and all that is, somebody say it's only growing. It's only growing. Glory to God forevermore. Thank you, Lacey, so much. Amen. And that word, when it says, the glorious church part. We're gonna pray but I just wanted to take a few minutes and honor that man of God, husband, father, patriot. You know, for the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. He took a bullet for me. That's how personal it has to be, because they want to shut us all up. But I think what we're seeing here is this is bigger than one person. But boy, did he embody a lot of this, right? But it says in verse 27 there, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. Somebody say glorious. Means in great esteem, and today we hold Charlie Kirk in great esteem, right? Honorable, we honor him and his family and his work. It's a notable work, wonderful deeds, and it means also free from sin. A glorious church he's coming back for, where there is a sin, we're being rid of sin by the power of the blood, and we're repenting of sin, we're not making excuses for sins. Somebody say, get free of it. Shake it off. We don't go back to sin because something like this happens. We get more serious about serving God in our life. And I love the final statement here. Glorious church means wonderful deeds. When you think of stories like John the Baptist, when he was beheaded, Jesus got alone and he came out fighting the fight of faith, healing people, preaching the gospel. When Stephen was martyred, which I've heard many compare Charlie's sacrifice to like a Stephen situation, the church got alone, we heard over it, we pray over it, and we come out preaching. Somebody say glory to God. We got work to do, and the enemy is not people, the enemy is the devil. And somebody say we're only going to get louder, bolder, and brighter. And we're seeing the enemy's plan is backfired on him again. And we rejoice in this. Amen. So as you give today, just remember, it's bigger than the finances you're investing into the kingdom of God. You are literally sowing seed to save somebody from hell, right? And you'll see it multiplied back many times in your own life. Amen? Glory to God. And if you want to sow also into the missionaries today, just designate that, and we'll make sure that they get that as well. Amen? We're partners with their ministry, but they are here in person today. Amen. And we're going to get it over to them in just a moment. So why don't we all just stand up on our feet, and we're going to pray over our tithes and offerings. today. Thank you for allowing us to share that. And thank you, Lacey, for sharing that with us. Amen. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the honor of sowing into your work, Father God. And we thank you for the life of Charlie Kirk. We know, as again, I heard his wife say and many others, that the first things he heard from you were, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Glory to God. We honor him today, Lord, and we honor you by giving our tithes and our offerings today. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to welcome Brother Randy Mishler up here. Love you guys. Thank you, Randy.
I want to say thank you guys again. It's such an honor to be here. I'm so grateful to be here. My family and I, we're so grateful, and we're grateful for you guys all the time. This is obviously a unique week for all of us. I just want to say thank you to Pastor Steve for doing what you just did, because there's a lot of people who won't do that today in their churches because they're worried about whatever, maybe people, what people are going to think, or people leaving their church or whatever. And the Bible says that we're to give honor to whom honor is due. And it's so important. I just want to thank you for that. And it's obviously, as I was praying for you guys and praying for this morning and what is on my heart, but also what has been on my heart since Thursday. And my wife and I said the same thing. I've never in my life cried when someone died that I didn't know them. I've never experienced that. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, why, what is happening right now? Like, what? I don't know him. So obviously I have all these feelings that I feel, emotions, and, you know, I'm sure, and some flesh in there as well, and all these things, and I know you guys have all experienced it, and I'm asking the Lord, I say, Lord, what do you want to say today? What do you want to say? Because it's not about what we want to say. It's like, it's what you want to say. And so as I was praying, and I told Pastor Steve, we talked on the phone and prayed on, I think it was Thursday or Friday. And I told him I wanted to share some things that God is doing in Mexico, and I'm so excited. But at the same time, I'm so burdened for what's going on, and burdened for what God is saying to the church. Because it is a turning point. It's not going to be the same. And I think the Lord is waking us up. He's waking up his church. And I'm trying to put all this together, not just with what God is speaking to me, but even as pastors in Mexico, as we look at the pastors that God has given us influence to in Mexico, and saying, God, what are you doing to your church? What are you saying to your church worldwide? I'm sharing all this with you because I know we all may carry a variety of emotions, but we have one Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is here, and he wants to speak to us today. So I'm going to attempt to jump into this and spend a few minutes just, number one, thanking you and giving you a quick picture of one of the things that God is doing in Mexico. And I always say this, but as we share this with what God is doing, I'm doing it not just so you can say, okay, yeah, it looks like those Mishlers down there, they're doing some good things, and, you know, yeah, it's not that. It's like I truly want you guys to know that you are a part of this. Like, you, when you give to these missionaries, like, you're literally, and you're not, I know you're not just giving, you are praying, And I will say this, and I told Pastor C this morning, I said, you guys are the most generous church I know and the most praying church I know. And I want to thank you. I want to say thank you from us and all those other missionaries and from your Heavenly Father. I want to say thank you. Thank you for fighting the good fight. Thank you for being a part. And as we share just a couple things this morning, I want you to know that you share in the honor of anything that is worthy of honor. You share in that honor. Okay, so thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Steve and family. We love you guys, and we honor you today. Mark 9:41 says, if anyone gives you even a cup of water, if anyone gives you a cup of water because you belong to the Messiah, and so I want to just remind you, you know what Messiah means, but I'm just going to say king, right? He's the anointed king. So if anyone gives, Jesus said, you a cup of water because you belong to the king, I tell you the truth, that person will surely be rewarded. And so you guys are exemplary in giving, in giving a cup of water, in praying, in doing so much, and you don't ever get to see the benefits. And the, thank you so much. You don't ever get to see. You rarely get to see the benefits of what you sow, and even your prayers. And so, I want to share some things and just give the glory to God and thank you. Okay, so one of the things that we've been doing that's been so exciting in the last about 14 months is we've started a ministry to pastors called Koinonia, Koinonia Pastors Ministry. And from the very beginning, and we've been praying, we believe God that someday we're going to have a retreat center and a place for pastors to come, a resource for pastors in all of our state of Baja California Sur, the southern part of the Baja Peninsula. And that's our dream. We just believe God has called us to strengthen existing churches, to bring them together, to help them focus, to help them believe and be people of faith, that will send laborers to the ends of the earth, that they'll be a part also of the mission field, of the Great Commission. And so as we have been doing that, we dream about having a place, a property. And it just hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. And we keep saying, Lord, you know, we go look at property and we go look. And I don't even think it's that we don't believe for the finances for it. I just don't think we found it yet. And so we felt God speak to something to us just under 2 years ago. And the Lord said to us, don't wait until you have property. I want you to bless the pastors right now. And we felt, we had been invited to a pastor's gathering, and they flew us there. They paid for everything. They didn't even charge a fee. They paid for everything. They gave us credits, Uber credits, to get from the airport. I mean, like, everything. And it was something about that experience where God just, we just felt so blessed and valued and appreciated. And we felt the Lord was saying, I want you to do that for my servants in Mexico, in Baja. And so we're thinking, man, we've never done anything like that before. How do you pay for something like that? Anyway, I won't go into all the details, but I will say this. In all my life, I'm almost 60 years old. In all my life, I've never met anyone. I've never known anyone who owns a hotel. Never. But in the last 18 months, since we took a step of faith and said we're going to do this, we've met two people who own hotels in our area. And both of them say, we want you to bring pastors here so that you can bless them. One of them gives us 90% discount when we do our Koinonia retreats there. The other one, I think the Lord's still working on them. They only give us 75% discount. But still want you to pray for them. It's just amazing, like how, like to see what God has done, and again, we've never raised money. We've never done anything like this. We just took a step of faith, and how many know that when God says this is what I want to do, we don't have to worry about those little details. We don't have to worry about how many thousands of dollars. He just says, "This is I want to just do that. Do that thing that I told you to do." We have to. I'm convinced more than ever that Christianity and even ministry and our calling is it's so much simpler than we make it. It's we got to figure out what God wants and do that and pray that. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have to know what he wants and go after that. And so that's what has happened. You're going to see a quick video here in a couple minutes. We're going to show you just a quick video of some pastors. I hope you can see it's going to be subtitled at the bottom because they're speaking in Spanish. But this is the hotel that is not the fancy big one. It's actually it's about an hour away from us on the Pacific side. And this hotel, it's called Ola's Waves, Ola's Retreat. And this couple from New Zealand, this lady had a dream one night 10 years ago. She dreamt she saw a hotel, white building, with red bougainvillea flowers, arches. And she saw this building. She said she knew in her dream that it was a retreat place for pastors and missionaries. She knew it. And so she woke up. She grabbed her book. She'd never done this before. She wrote it down. She's like, I got to write this down. It was so powerful. The first time in her life, she's written a dream down. I don't have time to tell you the whole story. But about 5 years later, they ended up feeling, she thought in her dream it was probably Spain, because she didn't know anything about Mexico, never been to Mexico. So anyway, for some reason, they thought they were going to go to Spain, and then an opportunity opened up to go to Tijuana to serve with YWAM, which is the northern part of the Baja Peninsula, just south of San Diego. So they go to YWAM Tijuana, and they're serving there in middle of COVID, or COVID starts. Everything shuts down, so they go on a month-long camping trip down the Baja and end up happening upon this hotel that is for sale. And they went and looked at it, and it was that hotel in her dream, to the very detail of the red flowers and the outdoor kitchen. It's the one you're going to see in the video. And they bought it. They didn't. God provided the money. They bought it. And last year, we met this couple. Again, we already know one guy that has a big old fancy hotel. This one is just a super nice, quaint, beautiful hotel, walking distance to the beach on the Pacific side. Totally quiet, peaceful place where they tell us, you can send pastors here all day long, any time you want, for it's like $33 a night for the couple, and that includes breakfast. That's what it costs us. And it's just unbelievable. It's amazing. And we're meeting them for the first time. We're sharing with them our vision, and they're sharing with us their dream and what God has done. And they said, you know, it seems like God has given us a place, but we don't really know that many pastors. It seems like you guys know a lot of pastors but don't have a place. Maybe we're supposed to work together. And that's exactly what we've done. So this right here that you're going to see, if you can roll that video.
Koinonia para mí fue un renuevo.
Algo refrescante, refrescó mi alma.
Un refrigerio para mi vida.
Y fue una grande bendición, un refrigerio, un reforzamiento. Y le doy gracias a Dios por esta convivencia de pastor.
Es un oasis en medio del desierto, donde he aprendido a escuchar a Dios y también abrirle todo lo que yo soy al Señor y reforzar mi llamado en Él.
Ir a los brazos de mi padre, un deleite para mi corazón. Un tiempo especial con mi esposo, que la verdad sí teníamos mucho tiempo que no estábamos, solo él y yo.
Restante y ver la fidelidad de Dios.
Reunidad, tiempo de amistad y renovación.
A mí también ha sido una gran bendición, refugio, fortaleciéndonos en Dios.
Es amor inmerecido.
So super exciting to see what God has done. And all of these pastors, even as I'm watching them share the testimony, I know their stories, and I know some of the places they come from, the difficult situations that they're in. And for them to be able to, you know, because of the generosity of the saints, for them to be able to, you know, have gas money given to them and all expenses paid retreat for 3 days at a place they would never get to go to in their life. It's the greatest thing ever. It's the greatest blessing. And I know just from talking to them personally how excited they are. Even a lot of these guys said, hey, whenever you bring the next group through, we want to come and stay in the tents with you and help cook the food and do the next one. And so it's just amazing to see that spirit of unity, people coming together, praying for one another, beginning to pray more for other pastors. These represent different denominations, the body of Christ coming together, and it's so exciting. And so I wanted to give just a quick, that's just one of the things, but you guys are a part of, so thank you. It's just so awesome. It's so exciting to see how God is opening doors, and we got a bunch more of these planned. I want to take a minute to give a word that the Lord put on my heart for you, and I believe God confirmed it, because Pastor Steve this morning, when we were talking, he said, well, yeah, we're a Nehemiah church, and we have trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. And I said, well, thank you, Lord, because that's the one I switched to last night. The word that I thought I was going to share was something else. And last night, God spoke to me from Nehemiah. So I'd like you to open to Nehemiah chapter 2. You guys know the story, but I think it's important in light of what's going on in our world right now that we put ourselves in this story. We insert ourselves in what is happening right here, because just as Jerusalem was in a state of just a terrible state, it says in Nehemiah 2:17 that they were in distress, and Jerusalem lies in waste, and the gates are burned with fire. And it says Nehemiah told them, he said, come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. So this was what God had sent Nehemiah to do. I think it's important that we remember that Nehemiah did not just have this idea. He prayed because he had got a burden. One of the things that's interesting about Nehemiah is that I think it's about 14 different times throughout the book of Nehemiah we see him praying. He just prays. He just goes right into prayer. And he is a man of prayer. But it's important to remember that Nehemiah, that this was a time when the church was not being the church. This was a time when the people of Israel were literally in defeat. And God raised up a non-believer, a pagan king, to rebuild Jerusalem and to rebuild the wall and to fund it. That's what happened. And so that's what happened with Ezra and then Nehemiah as they came along to rebuild the wall. So here we have these guys, and Nehemiah, as you guys know, They come along. God put it on his heart. God gave him favor. King said, it's all yours. Take whatever you need, my timber, everything, my guards. So he arrives in Jerusalem, and he finds it, just like it was reported to him, in distress. Jerusalem lies in waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Pastor Steve said it already. Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And we got lots of spots and wrinkles nowadays. And I think the church, even after this week, it's just I'm just so saddened to see how divided the church really is. And I do believe God is doing some separation right now. But I want to encourage you today that no longer how burnt the walls look, no matter how much rubble, no matter what we see with our eyes, it only matters what God says. It only matters what God wants to do. And if God says, I want you to rebuild the wall, God's going to help you to rebuild the wall. And if God says, I want you to say thus and thus, then we're going to have to say thus, and God's going to help us. And when I say God's going to help us, God's going to help us in the best way that he can. And the way that he wants, the way that will most bring him glory. I would never, I was asking the Lord, I'm like, God, I do not. I was, when I heard Charlie had gotten shot, I was praying so hard. Lord, heal him. Do not let him. I was devastated. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, God, how? What are you, like? And when you say he's America's youth pastor, I can honestly say that I trust him with my children, what he says, more than the things that come out of a lot of youth pastors. So I'm like, God, why? I don't get it. And all I could do in that moment, and it was just so weird. I was like, I've never experienced. I was like almost breathing. It was just this heaviness. And all I could do was declare scripture. I tried to thank the Lord for it, and I couldn't bring myself to, because the Bible says in everything give thanks, right? I couldn't quite do that. So I said, Lord, thank you that you cause all things to work together for good. God, I thank you that you are perfect in all of your ways. I thank you, Lord, that even though I do not see it, somehow you're going to do it. And we just saw the videos of people waking up. And so when I say God is going to take care of you and protect you, God, it doesn't mean that a bullet is not going to hit you. It doesn't mean that people aren't going to stone you like they stoned Stephen. It doesn't mean that. It means he's got you. He's got you. Whether we live or die, it's for the Lord. To live is Christ, to die is gain. That's what we believe. So we either believe it or we don't believe it. But we have to, this is what is changing right now. This is the turning point that we're living in. And I believe that's what Nehemiah was happening to Nehemiah when he came back. There was a lot of people who said, yeah, I want to get out of Babylon and I want to go back to Israel. My grandparents or my grandparents was telling us how great it is, and some of them were there, and they came back as part of the temple rebuilding and the wall rebuilding and all that. But they came back and began to focus on their own lives, not on what God wanted. So here comes Nehemiah, a man of prayer, and he says, we're in distress, Jerusalem lies in waste, and its gates are burned. And then he says to the people, we all know this. We all see it. He says, come, let us rebuild so we may no longer be a reproach. And then it says in verse 18, and I told them of the hand of my God, which has been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, rise up and let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work, okay? And so this is where we get to the part where the enemy comes in, verse 19, but when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshon the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So it's important here. When they said rebel against the king, it's true that they did have the blessing of the king, right? They had the blessing of the king. But watch how Nehemiah answered. It's like, even though he had the blessing of the king, and he could have said, hey, I got sign. He says, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build, and you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. This word reproach, where Nehemiah says, we got to rebuild because there's reproach. This word appears 73 times in the Old Testament. It's almost always interpreted reproach, sometimes disgrace or shame. But it appears, I want to say, four or five times in the book of Nehemiah. And so it's important to see how they built. And when I talk about building, we don't have a physical wall to build. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about what is your part in building what God is wanting to build in America right now, what God is doing in America. But I believe the very first building block is prayer, the one thing that God is calling. I don't care if you pray 5 hours a day, God is calling you to pray more. God is calling all of us to pray more, pastors, missionaries, everyone. The people that built the wall, do you know who built the wall? It was, and we see it all through chapter 3. We're not going to go there, but it was priests, perfumers, goldsmiths, governors, Levites, merchants. It was people, all the people together, people that normally wouldn't carry trowels. They were all doing it. They were all doing the work. They all were doing the work. And as you know, there was opposition. There was much opposition. The enemy was furious and indignant, it says, and they came and mocked the Jews. When we speak the truth, you cannot reason with the demonic. It's very clear to me, I do not blame this kid for shooting Charlie Kirk. I don't even blame the left, because this enemy, it is a spiritual battle. The Bible says that they are in darkness. There's principalities and powers. They are under control of the evil one. I don't blame them. What do you expect them to say? They are in darkness. We have the light. But I do blame the church. The big C. I do blame a lot of people in the church that are trying more to cozy up to the world rather than pray and say, God, what is your will that you want to be done? God, what do you want to do? What are you saying? That's what I want to do. And that's where that's the struggle that I have even now as I'm sharing with you guys. And even now as I know God is saying, thank you for praying. I'm calling you to pray more. Thank you for what you're doing, but now we got to do it more. Whenever we speak truth, whenever, even back then, it's nothing new. If anything you can learn from watching Charlie Kirk is this kid, a young man, was just brilliant and articulate and very well studied, and he could just easily explain through truth. And at some point, people couldn't argue with anymore, so they became furious and indignant and started calling names. That's what they do. That's all they have to revert to. That's what happened here in this story. So we see in chapter 4, we see these guys, Sanballat again and Tobiah, they come again, and they ask some questions. They asked 5 questions, and we can see this in starting in chapter 4, verse 2. And since Nehemiah doesn't answer the question, I'm going to answer them for you. Here's the questions. What are these feeble Jews doing? Here's the answer. They are doing the will of God, the king and of the God of heaven. That's what they're doing. They're rebuilding the wall. That was God's will. The second question, will they fortify themselves? The answer is yes, they will fortify themselves. Whenever you do what the king wants, what the God of heaven wants, you will fortify yourself and you'll fortify those around you. The third question these mockers ask, will they offer sacrifices? Yes. Yes, they will. They will return that God wants to restore worship. God wants to restore the house of God. God wants to get a safe net around where the people of God can come and offer sacrifices. The answer to your question, Tobias, is yes, they will offer sacrifices. Number four, the fourth question, will they complete it in a day? No, it took them 52, but thank you for the question. And the fifth question, will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? Yes, they will. And yes, they did in 52 days. And we know the story. Why? Because they had a mind to work, but because they fought. And again, you know what I mean when I say fight. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, you guys. It's against principalities and powers. And that's the beauty of it. We don't have to go fight against lunatics out there. We fight against principalities and powers, and every one of us can do it. Regardless of our physical condition, we can do it. We can fight. I'm telling you, God is calling us to rise up as warriors and fight the good fight of faith. And I want to encourage you today. I'm going to ask my wife to come to the piano. And I don't have a sermon for you today. I have a seed, and I believe God is going to breathe upon it, and I think it's going to grow. I want to encourage you with your family just to read through Nehemiah and ask God what he's telling you to do, maybe he's going to speak to you to pray, a strategy of prayer. But I believe after talking with Steve this morning, and I just believe what God is saying for us today is that we leave time for him to move and to speak and for us to maybe pray together. Can we do that? And so I want to make sure we have time for that. I want to ask, I don't know, Louis, do you have something that you want to share before we jump into prayer? Okay. So I want to turn it over to Pastor Steve in a second, but I would like to ask, if you're able, if it works for you, I'd like to ask you to stand. Obviously, if you're more comfortable sitting, that's totally fine. Doesn't matter. I just want us to get ourselves in a position where we're not listening, but we're in a place of action, okay? And we're in a place of prayer. We're in a place to listen to the Holy Spirit. So, I think it's important before we jump in to prayer, when these guys listed all these things, remember it says they were furious, they were indignant, and they were mocking them. And they asked these five questions. So this is what it says immediately after that. Nehemiah is telling the story in first person. And it even says in verse 3, it says, now Tobiah and the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, if even a fox goes upon it, he will break down their stone wall. And there's the mocking, right? The very next word, hear, O our God. He didn't answer any of their questions. He didn't get all bent out of shape of their mockery. He just went straight to prayer. Hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Verse 6, so we built the wall, for the people had a mind to work. Close your eyes with me. I want us to pray right now. This is truly a turning point in our lives. It's truly a turning point in the time of the church. I'm still trying to figure out what it means for me as a a man, as a couple, us as a couple, a family that is ministering to pastors in Mexico with a whole different set of political and cultural things going on. But regardless of politics and political parties, there is a battle, a cultural battle for the souls of men, and there is a mockery of truth. And it is a turning point, not just for America. It's a turning point for the world. God is doing something. He's saying something. He's speaking to us. He's shaking us. And I'm asking you right now, would you let the Holy Spirit speak to you and say, what am I, and ask him, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to pray? And I do believe it starts. I think out of that prayer, God might call you to do something. Maybe God might call you to be the next Charlie Kirk. Maybe he'll call you just to be in your prayer closet for 8 hours a day. I don't know. God is God, and he has a plan, and he wants to speak to us, and he wants a people that will listen, that will say, I'm submitted to the God of heaven, and in this case, he's also the king. Holy Spirit, would you come right now and speak to us? Lord, would you stir our hearts to pray? Would you help us in our weakness when at times we're just coming and bringing our own petitions to you without taking the time to say, God, what is it that you want to do? Lord, we just declare and we say again, let your kingdom come and your will be done. Would you say it with me right now with confidence, with clarity? Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord God, I pray that you would raise up a people of faith that can pray, that can stand against the tide, that can even turn the tide of the enemy. Lord, that we would be a generation like Nehemiah, who is praying, who is got their weapons in one hand, and we're doing ministry in the other. We're praying and we're doing warfare against the enemy, even as we would do the ministry that you have called us to do. God, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon this church, Redeemed Church. I know they're already a praying church, but I'm asking God that you would continue to speak to them and to use them and give them clarity. I would like you to put your hands on your ears right now, just as a sign, as a symbol of spiritual hearing, and that you would just say it right now. Just say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit.
I want to hear your voice. Please help me to hear your voice. I want to know what you are saying so that I can know what you are praying, so that I can pray according to your will. I want to pray what you want, not what my flesh wants. God, would you help us today? Would you help us today?
I want to read to you Jude, verse 20. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. We're just kind of in this life. Let's not get too cozy in our great home and our family life. It's a wonderful thing to have. But we have to remember today that this is a transitional life, as our true eternal home is with Jesus when all this is done. And I want us to encourage each other today that this is what we do here, by building ourselves in our most holy faith. And I was thinking, Lord, how do we build ourselves in our most holy faith? Then I was reminded of the scripture, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Jesus, we want to remain in your word today. I want We want to be encouraged, Lord, today to remain strong in your word, to remain strong in you. Come on, if you have struggled lately, just everything is so busy. There's so much going on, and maybe we want to post something that will mean something. I'm telling you what, we're just going to go home, and we're just going to separate time, carve place in our rooms, in our living rooms with our family, and we're going to gather and pray. And we can take turns even reading scripture to be encouraged in our most holy faith. For faith comes by hearing. And we want to be hearing the word of the Lord. God, we want to be encouraged by your faith, Jesus. We want to be encouraged by your word, Jesus. We want to hear your voice, Jesus. We want to hear your voice, Jesus. We want to hear your holy word. We want to hear your voice, Jesus. I hear the voice of the Lord, and I hear always say, like he said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. That's what we need to be today. We need to be strong and courageous. We can't be swayed by what people will say to us or how we would look at us. We are so done with that today. We're so done. If we need to lose a few friends, so be it. And we need to lose a few connections, whatever, let it be. God, we want to be strong in you. I want us to this morning just to take another surge of courage, to be strong and courageous and stand strong in our convictions. The things that God has laid before us, we're going to be strong in our convictions. And we ask God today that you will make us strong in your might, that you will make us strong in you. In Jesus' name. Could I take just 30 more seconds? Is that okay? Can we just sing this together? Because God, in the end, it all leads to him. And hallelujah. We're just agreeing together. Hallelujah. 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 We make the name of Jesus great. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. We praise you. Oh, we praise you. His is all that matters. Hallelujah. 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 Alleluia. Thank you, Jesus. Your name is all that matters, Jesus.
Hallelujah. God is so good. Praise the Lord. And as you were sharing there, Brother Andy, I think one piece of the wall that we need to put back in place right now is the reality that we have a covenant of divine protection with Jesus. He is Jehovah Nissi, my banner of victory and protection. He told Abraham in Genesis 15, I am your shield. And yes, we pray, we intercede. One of the things the Lord reminded me of when this happened was, you know, you have a lot of people on your prayer list every day, but Charlie Kirk wasn't on it. Turning Point wasn't on your list, Steve. And you know what's on my list now? Turning Point. Turning Point USA. The Holy Ghost will remind us of people, especially people that are in high places of visibility that need us to be lifting them up every day. But let's put this stone in the wall back in place, because we don't want anybody leaving this building thinking, I might just go out and die because obviously God isn't protecting me. That's a lie. That's a straight up lie. We don't take one thing that happened and make it a blanket statement for the whole body of Christ. Somebody say, divine protection belongs to me and all those I pray for. This yes was a violation of our faith. That's why it hurts so much. Partly is because it's a straight up violation of our faith. The devil has no right to do what he did. None. But it got through. But his plan, church, always backfires. And I just want to read as we close today, and we're going to pray for the Mishlers as well in just a moment, but I just want to read Psalm 91 over us, over your families, over the body of Christ, over our leaders, over our campuses. The word says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely you shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler, from the deadly pestilence, the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels, somebody say his angels, charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Somebody say, long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So, Father, we thank you for your covenant of protection over all these leaders, over your churches, We thank you that you also give us the spirit of wisdom, things we do in the natural. But this is a supernatural, like Brother Randy was emphasizing, this is a supernatural enemy. Charlie Kirk did have security there, but the bullet got through. But we got news for the devil. Charlie is coming back. Charlie's coming back. Oh, the thousand-year reign just got more interesting. It just got even more interesting. And even now, somebody say, even now, there's a fire spreading across this planet that the devil cannot, he has no answer for it. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you for this. We praise you for it, God. Hallelujah. And I want us all to just gather around the Mishler family. We'll gather around the piano over here with Miss Louie. And let's just lay hands on them and bless them, okay? Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, just touch them, touch them, touch them, touch them. I'm gonna get the oil out. How many know this is not oil, this is the oil? We're gonna anoint your head with oil. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, we praise you for the wonderful works you're doing through this amazing supernatural family. We include Sophie in this too. Sophie's in the middle of serving right now over at Activate, I believe, right? So we trust you, Lord, to just continue to bless and minister to and through Sophie as well. Nico and Max and Wills and Randy and Louie. We declare, like Brother Randy was saying, the kingdom of God come. The will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven, in their family, in their ministry. Hallelujah. For the land that you put in their hearts, God, we call it done in the name of Jesus. For the plans and purposes for their children, Lord God, these young adults and children that they have, God, those who are here in our region, in school, Father God, with Manna House, Activate, and everything they're doing, we speak the blessing of God over them. The blessing of God over them. The peace of God, the health of God, the joy of the Lord that is their strength. And we give you the praise, God, for all the wonderful works you've already done and are continuing to do through their lives. Oh, we rejoice in it, God. And we thank you for the privilege and the honor of partnering with them in prayer. We commit to be praying for them every day. In Jesus' name.
Yes, yes.
In Jesus' name. Yes, kingdom of God come, will of God be done in Mexico, in Baja, California, on earth as it is in heaven. And through Baja blessing, everybody say, Baja blessing is blessed of God. In Jesus' wonderful name, in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else got anything you want to pray out? Go ahead and pray it out. Pray it out. Pray in the Holy Ghost or pray something out. Go la la veneshita la 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 la. All those ministers that they touch and speak into their lives and ministries, God, we praise you for the work that you're doing, for the, like they were saying, the supernatural anointing of refreshing, the refreshing of God that flows through the Mishler family, God. We praise you for it. We praise you for it. Somebody say, glory a Dios, in Jesus' name. Shout amen. Amen and amen. Give somebody a hug this morning. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Atmosphere like this, it's hard to say amen, isn't it? It's like there's days coming, like when Shelly was in church. Shelly still goes to church, by the way. She's not skipping today. But back in her youth days and children's days at the Assemblies of God, they'd have it and they'd say, "This is a linger longer service. We're just gonna linger longer, be together," right? So those days are coming, right? Where we're just gonna hang out and fellowship and man, isn't that what heaven is, Randy? Let's just linger. We don't got anywhere we got to go. Just hang out and fellowship and enjoy each other. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks so much, you guys, for coming. We sure love you. Amen. All right. This meeting is adjourned.